part one. You're listening to another episode of
Total Talk Nonsense with John and Scott. TTN.
All right, AKC's Total Talk Nonsense with John and Scott. I'm John.
And I'm Scott.
And this is episode 66, part one.
66, part one, John. And let's have six parts this episode. So we can have a 66, part six, man.
Yeah, I don't know about that. We'll be here till 4 in the morning.
All right. I don't have to work tomorrow because it's Memorial Day, John.
No, it's not, you knucklehead. It's Labor Day.
Labor Day, right. And for the hardworking laborers of the
America.
Septic states of America.
Right.
We get a three-day weekend.
Isn't that awesome?
And really what it signifies is the close of summer, John.
Yeah, it
does.
The
pool's closed, the kids are back at school, and it's back to the grind.
That's right. This is the Labor Day episode. What the hell was that?
That was me sipping my...
Red Bull and vodka?
Red Bull and vodka. Outstanding, John.
You know, I talked to the Pooch on the phone. On the Skype.
He's been on our show, the Pooch.
Yeah, he called.
Did you record it?
No.
No.
No. Actually, he had to test it for me because for some reason I unplugged a bunch of stuff and I had to reinstall the Turtle Beach audio hardware and software. And
what is this, Dignation? Come on, man.
No, what was I saying? Oh, he made fun of us because he just discovered Red Bull and vodka. That's all I ever drink.
Yeah, he's so cutting edge.
So my
with
car's
his pleated
worth more
jeans.
Than your salary.
And the only guy to have a car in Manhattan.
He's coming after you, man.
I keep saying pleated jeans. They're pressed.
Pressed.
Jeans. Pressed. Stupid ass.
Yeah.
Idiot savant. All right, John.
You're just mean.
To start out the show, we have a TTN correction followed by a TTN apology. And it's really not a TTN correction. It's a Scott correction.
Really?
A Scott correction.
All right.
So go ahead and play the clip, and we're going to correct this travesty that I spewed.
The real deal, John.
Oh, yeah.
At least in this series. It'll be interesting.
Wait a minute. Is it important when you first said right there? It
doesn't really matter. Okay. You can play it over.
And Dwayne Wade is the real deal, John.
Oh, yeah.
At least in this series. It'll be interesting to follow his career and see if he can get six championships like MJ did.
You think so, huh? He's the new real deal?
This guy makes it happen. I will admit that I don't think the competition is as fierce as it was in Jordan's era.
Yeah.
But this guy is the real deal. The real deal, John.
Now, wow. John, I made that statement after Miami defeated the Dallas Mavericks in the NBA
right.
Finals. And I take that back. Dwayne Wade is not the real deal, John.
He's not.
He's far from the real deal. Do you know why I'm correcting myself? Do you know why, John?
Because the Greeks beat the shit out of the
That's right.
US.
Because a Greek team with no names, no one on the U.S. team could remember or pronounce.
What about
shot the lights out
Papakakabalas
against a defensively challenged collection of America's best will now play for gold. And I don't know if did they win the gold? It was the game today.
No, they didn't win the gold. They couldn't. They got their asses kicked. Oh, you mean
the Greek
Greece?
Team? Yeah, the Greeks. Did
I don't
they
know.
Win?
I
think
know.
The game was today.
I was devastated after I saw that they kicked the shit out of the U.S.
101-95 defeat.
Can you believe that?
Americans face Argentina, and they actually beat Argentina for the bronze, John. The bronze. Big whoop.
Unbelievable.
So Dwayne Wade is not the real deal. Because MJ wouldn't have let that happen.
Yeah.
Okay.
Hey, man, real players play, big players play big games, said guard Theodorus Pull a Cock Out of My Ass. The MVP of the European final who had 12 assists Friday. And today I think we played very good. That's what he had to say about it.
Nice. Well, so, yeah, that's our TTN correction, a Scott correction, actually.
So who is the real deal?
Jordan, obviously, is the real deal. I thought that Dwayne Wade would be the next real deal. Oh. But no, he's not. Johnny,
not,
he's not.
Not Vasilis Spanoulis?
No, now we have a TTN apology, John. TTN apology. You know what we're apologizing for?
No. The
because,
W?
No, well, we'd have to do that every week. But this week, last week we talked about going to Duffy's on Wednesday.
Right.
To see the Spasmatics, John.
Right.
And we invited people to come to Duffy's.
To come to.
To Duffy's and meet TTN and John and Scott. And what happened? We didn't even show up. We did not show up, so we didn't get to see the Spasmatics. You know why we didn't show up? Because I got a call from Rick, and he said, "Hey, man,
I'm dead.
I gotta go. I have to go to
you
the
got
doctor
a live mic, Rick.
Tomorrow.
No, I don't.
I have to go to the doctor tomorrow, and I can't drink, I can't smoke, I can't eat. I gotta fast. So I'm not going to be able to make it. So I'll see you at practice on Thursday night."
Right.
And I can't swing a Wednesday and a Thursday. I just can't do
right.
it.
Right. Curfew.
So we decided not to go. We didn't
go. Is Rick in the air?
Rick is in the air. And so the seven fans that we have, we have a couple in UK, but maybe one or two of them showed up. I don't know.
Rick's got the Darth Vader breathing tube in.
So then what happened is Thursday, what happened Thursday? Get a phone call.
Right.
And I got a phone call from you.
I got the phone call from Beyond.
From Beyond, because Rick's doctor's appointment went pretty well.
For him.
But then he left the doctor's appointment, and he got a phone call from the doctor when he was on his way home, I guess.
Yeah.
And so Rick is here. He's joined us this evening, and Rick can tell us the rest. So what happened, Rick?
From what point?
Thursday. You had your appointment. You're leaving. You left the doctor's office. Then you get a phone call.
Yeah, I left the stress test and picked up my daughter. We were going to go to Popeye's Chicken for lunch. And
that's a good choice, Popeye's Chicken.
He intercepted me. He said, "Where are you at?" I said, "I'm on my way to lunch right now. I got to go have some lunch with my daughter." And he said, "Turn around and get back to the emergency room now. They're waiting for you."
And for all you new fans out there, we are a band.
We are a band.
We are a full band tonight, John.
All together, yeah.
Rick, guitar, singer, Scott on bass, and John on drums.
And we all sing. Not as good as Rick, though.
The doctor said, get to the emergency room?
Yeah.
And so what hospital did you go to?
Northwest Community Hospital.
Northwest Community Hospital. And why did he want you to go to the emergency room?
He just said that my stress test looked abnormal.
Abnormal stress test.
Yes.
And so what do you think?
Rick.
We're live.
Of the
we're
year
live.
Going down the drain there.
We're live from my left aorta right now.
Sorry, this is God. How you doing, Rick? I just thought I'd check in and say hello.
Yeah, where was the tunnel of light?
So you don't even know what's going to happen.
We
they just told you to
bulbs.
Go to the emergency room because there was an abnormality
Correct.
In your test.
Correct.
So you still don't know what's going on.
Right.
But do you ask any further questions, or you just say, okay, I'll head over to the emergency room, you hang up?
No, I just said, now? Like, right now?
Mm-hmm.
He said, yes.
Okay.
Wow.
I really need to see you right away.
So
and he said he was going to meet me over there.
So you get to the emergency room, and you still don't know what's going on,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
Except there's this abnormal test.
Right. And they ushered me right into one of those curtained rooms right away and put me on a bed and put the oxygen on, and that was about it until... the doctor started walking in.
So how long was it that you're in there? Do you find out what is going to happen?
Matter of minutes.
Matter of minutes. So
yeah.
They get you in there and they tell you you're going to have surgery.
Correct.
Assembly line surgery.
And the surgery is what?
That's George.
Their hope was that they were just going to make an incision in my leg in the femoral artery and send a wire or something. Put some dye in me, I think that's what it was, so they can take a look And that was the best case scenario. I was going to go home that afternoon, but if there was something wrong, they were going to have to fix it right there as long as they were in, you know.
Right.
You know, that cut me open twice.
And what do they call this procedure?
An angiogram.
Angiogram is the looking, and then the fixing is angioplasty.
Angioplasty.
You have Dr. George in
Dr. George. With no mic, but he's
no
here.
No mic, but you can hear him.
Well, no, angiogram was
Rick
the
brought
nurse.
His doctor tonight. We forgot to mention that. We should welcome Dr. George.
It's the Irish nurse angiogram.
So then you get this procedure where it's just the what you said. It's not. It's just the discovery.
It's the looking.
It's the looking. We're going to look. And are you awake for this?
Completely.
Completely awake.
Yeah.
So when do they say, oh my God, it's 95% blocked?
They didn't. They just went ahead and fixed it.
They just fixed it.
It's not like Mako or Midas where they got to come and tell you. They got to show you the estimate before they go to work. You know? Do you want us to fix this? Hell, what the hell?
But I thought you were like in line for like 5 or 6 operations. You're like number 3 out of 8.
Is everybody getting that?
I'm in the hallway waiting, and there's this old guy. Nice old gentleman. He was 79 years old, and he asked me what I was in for, and I told him. And I guess I was naive about it, and he said, what is this, your first time? I said, yeah. And he goes, you lightweight, this is my fifth. I said, yeah, I'm not coming back. What do you mean? I'm not part of this competition.
So 2 stints later.
So there's a saying, there's no atheists in foxholes. Are there atheists that... are about to get angioplasties? Do you have a faith in the Lord, Rick?
No.
So you still?
Why would he shove crap in my arteries?
Right. That's a good question. Well, some people would say the Lord is testing me. He's testing my faith.
Okay.
All right. So you remained an atheist throughout the procedure.
Yeah, and we listened to WXRT. During the whole procedure, it was kind of nice, you know, listening to some rock music while we were working away. And they asked me if I wanted some Valium to relax, which I was relaxed. Like I said, I was completely awake during the whole procedure. But something told me, they told me, we're going to give you some Valium anyways, because I think I was talking too much to the doctor, asking, you know, not
hey,
second
guessing.
Can somebody
shut him up?
Must have been a female doctor.
All right, so what's the prognosis? So they cleared it?
Yeah.
And
they put 2 stents in.
Stents. Now, I always said stint. I don't know why. Just because I figure you're in for a stint.
Yeah.
For a little while.
So yeah, to speak. Like this right now. your obligation. No, it's not like an obligation.
It's like a drive. Was it drive-through? Experience?
It will be someday. Honestly, gosh, it's going to be a drive. It was so quick. It was in an hour and a half. And the stents are actually, I don't know if you know what those are.
I don't know what those are.
No.
My perception was they were like tube-like things.
Yeah.
And it's a wire mesh. Yeah.
It's a coil. It's a spring.
Dr. George, checking.
And they're
it's a wire mesh.
There's some kind of coated steel, stainless steel, and they keep the artery wide. And I tell you, the moment they did that,
yeah,
it was beautiful. I mean, I felt the difference. And
you could feel the blood just like pumping through.
Yeah. Look, I got my chin pressed against my chest trying to see anything, any difference. But, you know, of course, it's behind your rib cage. And the guy Hector, the assistant there, kept telling me to keep still.
This is going to hurt a bit. Bend over. Oh,
so
man.
If your doctor hadn't called you back,
right,
would you be dead today?
No.
What would happen? What would have to happen for you to be dead?
Probably, I don't know. I don't know.
When does 95% become 100%?
That was my question that I never asked, you know. And 95% is, for all intents and purposes, that's completely blocked.
Yeah.
So for the last 3 or 4 months, I've been having these chest pains, and they go away when you stop doing whatever you're doing. Like that guy in Blues Traveler.
You just hit your chest like...
Yeah.
Like
it's an M&M in there or something. I had Lodge and I was eating those things this summer like crazy.
Yeah, the ass effects.
Oh, you know, that's... I don't even want to get into that. That's, you know...
Part of the...
So he doesn't want to get into that.
That's
he just doesn't even want to mention it anymore.
That might be part of litigation.
But...
yes, it is. It's yeah.
So for 6 or 8 months, you've been having all these different health problems. You had some problems with your ankles. You've had other types of problems. Were these all related to this, do you think?
The heart doctor and the nutritionist, they both feel that now, yes, that these things are going to go away, as well as the exhaustion I would feel at 7:30 at night, 8 o'clock at night. You know?
Oh, yeah, right.
So he says, you know, the whole new world's going to open up for me. I might actually be gay now, and that's just part of this whole new
world. What do you mean now? So anyway, as far as diet and your diet changes, what are we looking at here? You talk to your nutritionist, your dietitian.
Yeah.
And you got to change your whole eating habits, don't you?
No.
Sure you do. You
no.
can't. No stopping at Popeye Chicken anymore.
Are you a Peter Pupper?
I can do it once in a while. They said, get off the diet. Otherwise, if you don't do it, you're going to find little ways to get off the diet, and that'll grow. It'll snowball into something bigger. Once a week, get off the diet. But all I got to do is what I've been doing. I've been trying. I want to lose a couple, like 10 pounds for this European trip we're going to do, this tour we're going to do in the Sherwood Forest.
Right.
Yeah, I'm going to lose like 150.
All right.
Okay, probably not, but I just thought I'd say that.
Well, that is true. You did start making some changes.
Soft drinks and candy. I cut out all sugar 2 weeks ago. A little bit too late.
Drinking at practice.
Yeah.
And she's upset about it, isn't she, Sugar?
Who's upset?
Sugar.
Oh, yeah, Sugar, yeah.
Go, fuck you!
You're going to stop doing sugar. That's good.
I have to eat more fruit.
More fruits and vegetables.
Yeah, that's all. And exercise again. You know, I started running in the springtime, but I couldn't even make it halfway around the block. I just thought it was the lack of running for years. And after 2 weeks of running, I still couldn't make it around the block. And now things are starting to fall into place. Things are starting to make sense.
Well, I shouldn't laugh because I couldn't run around the house. But when Scott said, yeah, let's do a marathon, you're like, yeah, I'll be ready. And Scott says, well, how far are you up to? Half a mile.
Yeah, I'm having trouble getting around my block.
I was like, wait a minute, I thought Rick like ran like 30 miles before.
No, I used to run just those 5 mile, what are those, 10Ks?
Yeah,
I used to run those all the time. But, you know, another thing that, people ask me, and, you know, Dr. George here was, you know, did you have sort of an epiphany during this whole thing that, you know, you could have died and... Is there a change in, you know, was there a profound change in the way you look at life now? Not really. You know, I tried calling John as they were wheeling me towards that room, and I wanted to tell him something, you know, that I was never going to tell him before, that the band was playing in Springfield, Illinois once, and while he was sleeping, our old bass player got up and kissed him on the mouth. In the middle of the night.
Thanks.
And swore me to secrecy forever and ever.
And you
blew it, man.
No, I called him. I called John.
Who are you?
No, but you blew the secret. He swore you to secrecy.
That's what I'm saying. I mean, it's not a huge epiphany, but just little things like that. Maybe I should get these things out now. And I got that off, in fact, to John a couple days ago and let him know about it.
Well, Sturm,
you fucking dick!
The bass player, he's out of state now, so that's not a big thing anymore.
Yeah, but we're worldwide, man. Worldwide.
Great.
And here's the other thing.
Now they all know.
I just heard a clip on the internets, John. It's called Jimmy.
Yeah.
And homosexuality is contagious.
It is.
Yeah, so that could explain a lot of things about your behavior recently.
My behavior?
Yeah, your behavior.
What do you mean my behavior?
Well, you know,
you're a little
kiss.
More flamboyant, you know. You know what I'm saying,
yeah,
John?
I'm such a snappy dresser.
That's right.
Me with my big Hulk shirt on yesterday.
You said a whole retrosexual thing.
Yeah.
Did you say rectal spectrum?
Now, just last week, I was complaining that we didn't have any gigs coming up, John.
Yeah.
And it's a good thing we don't have any gigs. Give Rick some time to recover.
No.
You were begging me you were begging to be the one to give him mouth to mouth if he dropped over.
No, actually, we had that conversation because when Rick called me and said, "Yeah, I got this doctor's appointment, I can't go to
we had the epiphany.
Duffy's. Then we were talking about practice on Thursday, and we were saying, what if it's got something to do with his heart or something, and he has a grabber during practice on Thursday night? And we were arguing about who was going to give him CPR, and neither of us were going to step up to the plate.
I said I'd get the jumper cables.
No, what we decided we were going to do is we were going to pull a Bill Murray from Caddyshack.
And just kinda, put the clubs down, our guitars down.
Put our stuff down and just kind of leave the studio.
That's not nice. I would have jumped him. I mean, you know, that'll mean like...
In fact, he seemed like a real nice guy. The stranger was a good listener, too. When
I'm
Jimmy
not that...
got out, the stranger gave him a friendly pat. Then he told him he'd see him again. Sure enough, the following day, when Jimmy finished playing ball, well, the man was there waiting. They stopped at a drive-in, and the stranger treated him to a Coke. During their conversation, he told several off-color jokes. But Jimmy had heard others before, and, well, it made him feel big to so easily win the confidence of an older person. The following Saturday, they went fishing together. By now, they were using first names. Ralph said it was more friendly. Then during lunch, Ralph showed him some pornographic pictures.
What a transition!
Well, he was curious. What Jimmy didn't know was that Ralph was sick. A sickness that was not visible like smallpox, but no less dangerous and contagious. A sickness of the mind. You see, Ralph was a homosexual. A person who demands an intimate relationship with members of their own sex. You see, Jimmy hadn't recognized Ralph's approach soon enough. Finally, Jimmy told his parents, and they reported it to the juvenile authorities. Ralph was arrested, and Jimmy was released on probation in the custody of his parents.
Is that homosexuality or pedophilia, man? What's a, that's,
well, that is one big pile of shit.
I guess homosexuality was against the law in the 50s. And it was contagious back then.
Wow.
John.
Yes.
So they
you
locked people
catch it
up.
Off of a toilet
I'll tell you
seat.
What. I'll tell you what. Next time I have a grabber and before I hit the floor, I'll just point to one of which one of you guys I want to give me CCR. I mean,
CCR.
No, we'll do spin the bottle.
Yeah, who's going to play Bad Moon Rising, all right?
CCR,
quick.
I think you should just tell us now. Because, I mean, if you have a heart attack, don't you have, like, spasms, Dr. George?
If you do use the...
He's making hand gestures right now. He's like he's milking a cow right now.
If you do use the jumper cables, if you just put them on his nipple, you don't have to have electricity.
Nipples? We're talking nads.
Yeah, no electricity.
On the bits. Put it on the bits.
Not the nipples, on the bits.
Right.
That'll get him going.
I'll give you each envelopes. When it happens, you both open the envelopes,
open
it'll
the
say
envelope.
Which one.
Okay? Well, I'm a slow reader.
So it'll be a surprise, I think.
We have to do it on the mic. And the winner and the Oscar goes to...
The fuck you waiting for, bitch? Start sucking.
That's what it's going to say.
Are you a Peter Pepper?
What's your fucking point?
So now you can stop taking Viagra, right, Rick?
How else do I keep my pants up then?
All right, well, we hope you the best of luck, and because I want to be in catheter for a long time, man.
Catheter?
Wow.
Wrong, you idiot. Wrong band.
All you right. Atheist. Jeez.
You know, the band we're in. I want to be in that band for a long time.
What was the name of that band?
No. You're not. There's a catheter in me, not in you. No, not the other way around.
I thought it was a stunt.
Did they put a plug in you?
Yeah, they did.
They put because the guy at work had to say. Well, actually, he was in full cardiac arrest when they did his.
Mm-hmm.
And I told him about it, and I said, "Yeah, he had two stents." And he goes, "I had three." So
pussy.
Now it's like a badge of honor. Yeah. It's like a badge of honor.
Well, I hope I never have any, John.
Oh, me too. But it's genetic.
John's going to have a slinky.
Yeah, I'm going to have, you know, like 16 of them, and you could like up the stairs and down the stairs, you know, and all
they
that.
Did. The doctor did tell me there'd be a problem about airport security because that will show up.
Really?
Yeah. And I get a note from the doctor, which I don't think is gonna carry much weight.
Hey, just tell him.
Chill out, dickwad.
That's all.
Well, they have private rooms now. You can request a private room if they're gonna do a search.
You gonna open me up? what do you need a private room for?
Stop whining. You lack discipline.
Yeah, it's they give you a zipper now. You just said zip.
Yeah.
Zip.
All right. So I'm looking forward to the Sherwood Forest gig. It's you know, I'll be ready for that. That's number one priority. The practical upshot of the whole procedure I went through was they said it's completely reversible. I should never have to go back again.
If you do the diet, the exercise,
right,
high fiber.
And convert to Catholicism.
Right, there you go.
Yeah, oh my God.
Except Jesus is your savior, mm-hmm. Rick. Jesus.
That and a lot of fiber.
Yes.
Well, did you know the medical profession, though, they've changed over to, some of them have, I don't know if you had this story, Scott, medical practices blend health and faith.
Mm-mm.
Well, I sent myself the link for it from MSNBC, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I go to check it out today, and it's gone.
It's gone.
It's gone. It says, the practice combines the best of modern medicine with the healing presence of Jesus Christ. A brochure at the reception desk announces an image of the Madonna greets every patient. Doctors, nurses, and staff members gather to pray each day before first appointments. So instead of that, you could have had somebody just pray your blockage away.
Hmm. That might have worked.
This. Yeah. Yeah.
And I wouldn't be here today.
Proponents say the practices allow doctors to avoid conflicts with patients who want services the practitioners find objectionable, as well as to provide care that conforms with many patients' own values. The approach, they say, provides an alternative to mainstream medicine's reliance on drugs and devices that they argue carry side effects and negatively affect couples' relationships.
Sounds like Scientology, John.
Yeah.
All right, now let's talk about Rick's recovery. I think that
it's
we should forego.
I'm recovered.
No.
I'm recovered.
No, you're not. No, you're not.
What are you, Dr. Scott?
Yeah, okay, I'm Spock. Dr. Scott. What did they tell you? You couldn't lift 10 pounds for how long?
A week.
A week.
And a guitar is 9.
Not with the strap and the cord. Here's what I'm saying.
Not with the weight of carrying you guys every night.
That's a good one.
We forego practice on Monday and Thursday, but we redo our band field trip to Duffy's on Wednesday.
Oh, absolutely.
Are you up for that?
Wait, yeah. What are you saying?
I'm saying that we do not practice Monday or Thursday, but we head down to Duffy's on Wednesday, this Wednesday, to see the Spasmatics.
Okay.
That we neglected
we
to
neglected
see last
to do.
Wednesday.
We told everybody.
We told everybody
world.
That we'd be there. Everybody in the world, John. Everybody,
Stefan was on a plane.
He was on a plane to come back.
Except for the 800 people that were already there.
Right. And what did Steve tell us? Which his name is Lamar in the band.
Right.
He wears like a gay Barbie backpack.
And he says the girls, they put what? They put a beaver on the monitors? What's that all about?
What? I didn't hear that.
They bring beavers into the bar.
I didn't hear that story at all. Where was I?
Somebody was flashing a beaver at the singer.
Like a Basic Instinct kind of thing?
Yeah.
That happened to me.
No, she brought in a real beaver.
That happened to me.
Oh, you want to tell that story?
Not really.
Oh.
Because it was a member of my family that flashed the beaver.
No, why are you shaking right now? Hey, John.
Yeah?
Good Shiraz, man.
Oh, nice.
Excellent.
Are you having a Shiraz?
You're supposed to drink wine when you have heart difficulties.
Oh, yeah. It's good for the platelets.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. Isn't that right, Dr. George?
Yeah, we'll thin the blood a little bit.
There you go. From Dr. George.
Dr. George. We got to have Dr. George in more often.
We should.
Because he's been in the hospital more times than a real doctor, I've heard.
Three or four times. Yeah, that's all.
Recently.
Last month.
Didn't you have your blood, like, didn't you have a bloodletting or something recently?
We light the blood and then we watch it glow at night.
Nice.
He couldn't piss in New Orleans a couple years ago, and I missed dinner at Dickie Brennan's because of him.
That was wonderful because I'm in the room with the doctor, and I'm laying in the bed, and he opens the door with his wife, and he just like, oh, excuse me, and leaves. And I'm like, oh, no, wait, get back here.
I can't piss.
The doctor's hovering over him, and I'm waiting in the waiting room in downtown New Orleans, and there's a guy next to me in a wheelchair. Whose colostomy bag is open.
Oh, no!
And it wasn't sealed right, and I had to sit next to this guy waiting for them to catheterize this guy over here. And people keep calling me on the phone saying, we're down at Dickie Brennan's, get down here. And in the meantime, the guy's looking through these old Tupperware containers for something to eat while he's waiting. It's like, Jesus, just... put it in the bag. You know, save it. Save the trip to your system, guy. That smells horrible.
Oh, man. I know. And it looks like beef stew, doesn't it? It's brutal.
No, which, at the end?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, but the stuff that he was taking out of the Tupperware didn't look any different.
Oh.
I'm like, save a couple steps, man. Just put it right in the bag. It's open.
Oh, I know. That is, I feel bad. You know, one of us is going to end up with a colostomy bag because it's like 1 in 4, isn't it?
Really?
I say John gets the bag.
Well, there's only three of us, unless we're counting Dr. George.
Dr. George.
John's going to get the bag. Scott's going to get the hip.
The hip?
Yeah.
No way.
Oh, you're up for the hip.
No.
Come on.
But
come
whoever
on.
Gets the bag, the other two get to jump on it.
Doesn't it suck getting old?
Oh, no doubt.
No doubt.
John swimming around the pool, you know, instead of those little, what do they call those things, floaties? That's just my bag.
That's my bag. It's holding me up. Oh, my God. I love that one. We talked about this before, the Married with Children, where the husband.
Him.
Yeah, he falls off the roof, and then he comes crawling in, and Peg says, Al, you're getting mud all over the carpet. Yeah. That's not mud. Peg, that's my colon. He's dragging shit all over the house.
That's harsh. Harsh.
That's harsh.
Harsh. Hey, John.
Nice. Let's fire up a dube.
All right. Maybe for part two.
Hold on. Let me get one going here.
But while we have guests, John, we could play Shit or Shinola. Are you ready for a game of Shit or Shinola?
Yeah.
Whatever I just said.
Hey, it's John.
Shit or Shinola?
What?
John, you got an intercom or something for upstairs?
No. Why?
Because I'd like to get another one of these Shiraz without having to...
Hey, just relax, Mr. Angioplasty.
You know what? I've been,
you can play Shit or Shinola first and then
your... No, I'll do that. But if there's a way he can get in contact with the people upstairs to bring something down...
No, there's no way. No.
I think you've had enough.
He can through ESP,
We've been to so many parties today to celebrate my getting out of the hospital. We're
almost going to bring him back.
We got to go back to one more party tonight.
All right. Well, maybe the next party you'll be back in the hospital if we keep pumping alcohol into you.
We'll drink to you when you're there.
Doesn't the alcohol thin the blood out, though? And if it's thinner, it can squeeze through tighter spaces, right?
That's right.
There you go.
That 5% is all I'm looking for.
Uh-oh. Somebody's phone is ringing.
I think it's Jeffrey John.
What's going on, man? What is that?
Hey.
Is that an EKG?
We need another Shiraz down here.
There's his intercom system.
We're not talking right now, please.
No, we are talking.
Oh. You want me to bring it
down? Well, I don't care.
You could say please, John.
All right. Anybody.
Okay. Anybody.
All right. All right, bye.
All right, we're going to play Shit or Shinola. I'm going to read a statement, and you're going to tell me if it's shit or Shinola.
And
right.
Whose world?
What do you mean, whose world? This world.
Whose reality?
Our reality.
All right.
This reality. Ready?
Let's go.
Are you ready?
I'm ready.
You ready, John?
I'm ready.
You ready, Dr. George?
I'm here. Yes, I'm here.
the first
statement. But wait a minute. We didn't play the game show.
Oh, we got to play the game show theme.
All right,
go
hold
ahead.
On.
Let's get ready to play.
Shimmer, shine, all on.
And thank you for the lovely Beth.
All right, the first right. Shitter Shinola tonight. The number of twin births. Did you get that? The number of twin births in the United States is decreasing. Shit or Shinola?
I say shit.
You didn't even explain the rules yet. I mean, what does shit mean, true or false?
It's false.
What do you think?
Shinola.
Shit means true?
I didn't know you from Shinola.
Shinola means true.
That's an old
shit means false.
All right, shit.
Shit for Rick. Dr. George?
Shinola.
Dr. George says Shinola. All right, Rick and John go up by one.
Yeah.
Because it is total shit. According to the National Center of Health Statistics.
Well, yeah, because what do you call drugs? What do they call those drugs?
Fertility drugs.
Yeah, triplet births have increased fivefold. The increase is attributed to American women getting pregnant later in life. Multiple gestations are more likely after the age of 30. And the rise of fertility drugs, John. There you go.
Thank you.
All right, John and Rick are up by one. Come on, Dr. George.
I had a girl that had multiple gestations.
No, those are orgasms.
Not for her, no.
Next shit or Shinola. The yeast extract left over from the manufacture of beer is considered a delicacy in Australia. Shit or Shinola. The yeast extract left over from the manufacture of beer is considered a delicacy in Australia.
Oh, that's an easy one.
I'll say Shinola because I think that's Vegemite.
Yeah.
They feed that to cows, don't they?
I don't know, do they? Dr. George, check in with shit or Shinola.
Well, I'll say Shinola.
Shinola, all right. 2-2-1. It
wow.
is Shinola.
All right.
Fred Walker, a Melbourne native working in the food industry, found that tons of leftover yeast extract that comes from brewing beer were not only a good source of vitamin V.
Is that B for beer?
I think it said V.
Vitamin B, man.
Is that vagina yeast?
But also quite delicious. If you like that sort of thing. Woo! He first marketed the product in 1922, calling it Vegemite. But it took 14 years before his countrymen fell in love with it.
We actually call it Tang in America.
Currently, 22 million jars of the pungent spread are sold each year. Next, shit or Shinola.
Vitamin V. At a store near you. Pick it up.
The rock group The Quarrymen was formed in the late 1950s by John Lennon and Paul McCartney. Shit or Shinola?
Oh, definite Shinola.
Yeah, Shinola.
Shinola.
Yeah, I remember seeing a video of them or a picture of them with it on their bass drum or something.
3-2. And there you have it. Prior to being named the Beatles, the band had several names. In the late 1950s, John Lennon and Paul McCartney formed the group to play skiffle music in Liverpool pubs. They began as the Quarrymen, then became Johnny and the Moondogs, the Moonshiners, and Long John and the Silver Beatles. They became the Beatles in 1960 and retained the name until the band broke up in 70s.
The Beatles.
All right, next shit or Shinola.
I want to change my answer to number one.
Too late, Dr. George. As of the year 2000, the United States had more personal computers than the next top 7 countries combined. Shit or Shinola.
Wait a minute, say that again.
As of the year 2000, the United States had more personal computers than the next top 7 countries combined.
Are you going to name those countries or just...
No.
I need to hear shit or Shinola.
I say shit.
John says shit.
I'm gonna chime in with shit.
Rick says shit.
Shinola.
It is now a tie game. It's a three-way tie.
DG.
It is Shinola. The United States had 161 million PCs in 2000. Japan, Germany, China, United Kingdom, South Korea, France, and Canada. The next seven countries in the rankings.
That is one big pile of shit.
Had a combined total of just under 158 million. Two more shitter Shinolas left,
two
and it's
more.
A three-way tie.
Here we go.
All Formula One cars are powered by V8 engines. Shit or Shinola?
Shit.
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 It is still a three-way tie. That is right. Rules state that all Formula One cars must be powered by 3.0-liter 10-cylinder.
Oh, 10.
Natural
I thought it was 12.
Aspirated engine.
Like an Allison.
There you have it. Last shitter Shinola.
Well,
unless
we
need a tiebreaker. I'm going to have to dig in my backpack.
I naturally aspirated one of my patients once.
Man, who the fuck just steals a monkey?
Avant-garde recording artist Moby is related to Herman Melville. Hence his moniker, Shitter Shinola.
Shinola.
Shit.
Shinola.
All right, we have two new leaders, Rick and Dr. George.
Oh, yeah.
Moby's real name is Richard Melville Hall, and he's definitely related to
what?
The author of one of America's greatest novels, John, Moby Dick.
All right. A sphincter says what?
Give me a backing track while I look for my other shitter Shinola to break the tie.
This is Shitter Shinola question looking for music. Did
all right, John,
it?
You can play along at home if you'd like, but
all
you
right.
are not.
I am out.
You are out of the competition.
I'm out.
Whew. All right, Shitter Shinola for Rick and Dr. George. Certain U.S. coins are minted with ridges on their edges for a better grip. Shitter Shinola.
Shinola.
I'm going to say Shinola, yeah.
You're both wrong.
Okay.
But it's still a tie.
Oh.
That is total shit. Called reading the ridges of the U.S. dollar, half dollar, quarter, and dime.
Are they for
her pleasure?
Were placed
there because these coins were once made of precious metal. The reeded edges discourage counterfeiting and fraudulent use, such as filing off the edges to recover the silver. Now most coins are made of far less expensive nickel-clad copper. And there you have it. Next one.
I thought they put the ridge on a nickel so when you bite it, it doesn't slip out of your teeth.
No, that's total shit. Next shitter Shinola, the actor will pray... The actor who portrayed the Marlboro Man for the world's best-selling cigarettes died of lung cancer. Shitter Shinola.
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 And they both have that right. Shinola.
Wow.
Actually, many models and cowboys were used in television and print ads for Philip Morris, but two of the men, Wayne McLaren and David McLaren, died of cancers that began in their lungs. That's right. Next one. Shitter Shinola. The first televised wave performed by... This is an interesting question, John, because if you are a listener of TTN, you will know
you
the
will
answer
know
to this.
This answer.
You will
That's
know
right.
this. Let me start over. The first televised wave performed by a stadium full of spectators occurred on January 12, 1969, when Joe Namath and the Jets defeated the Baltimore Colts in Super Bowl III. Shit or Shinola?
Shit.
Dr. George?
Shinola.
Dr. George takes this evening's shitter Shinola.
Come from behind.
I'm sorry.
Wait a minute. What?
I'm sorry.
You got it wrong?
I got it wrong.
That is one big pile
I got
of shit.
It wrong.
That is one
Rick
big pile of shit.
Takes shitter Shinola.
Oh,
that is total shit. The first recorded wave was on October 15th, 1981.
That is one big pile of
in
shit.
Oakland, California, at the third game of the American League Championship Series between the Oakland A's and the New York Yankees.
I think there's a lawsuit right
here. Professional cheerleader Crazy George Henderson takes credit for starting the wave that day. In 2002, Tamás Vescas of Eötvös University, Hungary, analyzed videos of Mexican soccer
wave.
stadiums. And discovered that
it only took vitamin V.
A dozen or so fans to initiate a wave. Once started, it usually moves clockwise at 40 feet per second in the path of 50 seats wide. These characteristics apply to almost any stadium in any culture and sport. So I'm confused. Did it happen in Oakland, California, or did it happen in Mexican soccer stadiums?
If to reread your question, it was televised, the first televised.
Right. No. Yes, first televised.
There's going to be a lawsuit. Somebody's going to write letters.
Six weeks ago.
It's a poorly written question.
Isn't Brokeback Mountain the
That's the Marlboro question. No, you don't go back there.
All right, then. So, Rick... coming off angioplasty, takes
6 weeks ago.
The shitter shinola.
Scott could not even spell bass player, and after taking vitamin V or vitamin V,
vitamin V,
he is one. He is one now,
no doubt.
He's the blast player.
It was bass, yeah.
I'm all the right. Vast player, John.
All right, we got to carry on to part two. So we got to.
I play the largemouth bass.
All right, then.
This is a 6-part series. This is the 66th episode.
This is part one of 6 parts.
So we can have the 666 heavy metal
episode,
John.
I got a lot of people tonight who want to do shots with me to congratulate my recovery.
Excellent. So you're going to take off?
Pretty soon,
to party number two?
Yeah, we got to go back to there's an outdoor barbecue thing with some live bands we got to head back to. They're doing tequila shots and...
Jello shots.
In my honor. Oh, the Jello shots we talked about, yeah.
Are you sure you want to leave? You're breathing kind of heavily there, Rick. So we got to go back to the show.
You going to be all right?
Yeah.
I'm breathing heavily. I just won Shitter Shinola.
You just won. I mean, that's very exciting.
I think I'm being rather understated.
That is really exciting, and you didn't have a grab or anything.
Strong with this one.
Well, thanks for coming in tonight, and thanks for bringing Dr. George.
Yeah. He's my ride. I can't drive for 3 days.
All right, you've been listening to AKC's Total Talk Nonsense with John and Scott. I'm John.
And I'm Scott.
Stay tuned for parts 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6.
And we'd like to thank special guests Rick and Dr. George.
Dr. George from Joining In, part 1.
Yeah, come out to Duffy's on Wednesday. We'll all be
Wednesday,
there.
Wednesday, Duffy's.
Yeah.
See you there.
Say hello.
That's right.
We'll sign your breasts.
No doubt.
All right.
Thank you for listening to part 1 of AKC's Total Talk Nonsense. Part 2 is just a click away.